We are Robotire, and we are driving the future of automotive repair with robots and software, starting with the tire changing process.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Robot Industry Podcast. We're glad you're here. My name is Jim Beretta, and thank you for subscribing. We are broadcasting from London, Ontario, and from Plymouth, Michigan. My guest today is Victor Dorolfi from Robotire. And welcome to the podcast, Victor.
Well, thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to chat with you.
Victor, maybe you could just start with what you're doing and maybe how did you got started?
Sure. So what we're doing is we're building a platform for automating vehicle maintenance. We're starting with tires because they're consumable, and they're kind of the thing that doesn't change with the changing of vehicle types, moving from internal combustion engines to electric and then eventually to autonomous. That's and they're on the outside, so they're easiest to automate, right? Instead of trying to get under the hood, that's what we're starting with. Before I dive in a little further, my background is in the robotic space. So I've got about 12 years building robots for Tesla, SpaceX, Apple, Zoom Pizza, Cafe X, name it, and I've made these industrial robots do crazy things. This is my second company. First company was a battery pack company. And how I got into this, sadly enough, my wife needed new tires. I sat at a shop for 3 hours, hated every minute of it, and thought, hey, there has to be something better than a human doing this, right? And that's how I started this.
This just fits right into the dull, dangerous, dirty work for sure.
Correct.
In our call earlier, you mentioned that you went into Y Combinator, and how important was that?
Well, I think that was so YC, everyone knows YC, right? Brex came out of it, Cruise came out of it, Airbnb came out of it. I think it's one of those things, especially for like a hardware company, because there's not a lot of hardware companies that go through YC. It's kind of like one of those stamp of approval. And it's, from a startup perspective, anything I can do to make sure this doesn't fail, I'm going to try to do, right? If that, getting into YC gives me a, 1% better chance, I'm going to do it. But I think the real benefit of YC is the network and the ability to, communicate with some really outstanding entrepreneurs and founders and get insight that, if I didn't have that community, I probably wouldn't know those answers.
You know what? Sometimes it's the network that you have, for sure. Victor, what is the value proposition then of Robotire?
Kind of like what you stated, right? Which is replacing this, repetitive manual task of lifting a tire 8 hours a day. Each tire on average is about 50 pounds. The industry average, now some people may poke holes in it, but the industry average is about an hour for a set of four tires. And again, with humans, you can go really quick in the beginning. You can add more people. They'll try to tail off. By 5 o'clock, that time gets longer. So right now, what we're doing, we're live in a current shop, and we're doing a set of four tires in 15 minutes from pull in to
Nice.
pull out. So the value prop from a shop's perspective is, we say augment your workforce, basically giving a shop the most sophisticated tool that they could buy
Yes,
and
yes.
putting in their shops to help them, service customers faster, increase margins, increase revenue. And then from the consumer side, it's actually like being able to definitively know when your car is going to get done, right? So if you show up at 10, you're going to be out by 10:30. It's not going to be, oh, 3, 4, 5 o'clock, right?
Yes. And Victor, we were talking on the podcast just the other day about attracting or retaining labor. So this is something for the car dealerships and for the service depots to consider as a labor strategy.
Correct. And that's part of my goal here is to kind of bring the new breed of technicians. So we're working with some of the trade schools here in Michigan area to kind of train the new breed of mechanic to re-energize people to be a mechanic. Tires in particular is an entry-level job that's got high turnover. When you stack it up between changing a tire, driving for Uber or flipping a hamburger, which one you don't think people are going to do, right? So then you pair that with, you know, a Tesla now, it's like 50 plus computers on it. You're also becoming more of like software diagnostic more than turning wrenches. So yes, we're doing that to re-energize the mechanic to come say, come be a robot technician instead of being a car mechanic, but you're going to know you're going to have to maybe fix a car too.
Yes, and come work with robots, right? Yeah, that's a very easy value proposition. So how does the system work?
So high level, without getting into too much of our patents, right? Basically, the car comes in, we scan the vehicle, and then it is driven over our automated lift. We have an automated lift that lifts the car. So the pitch there is that a car will never fall off a lift again. It picks up the vehicle. Then we have little robots that come and, again, use machine vision to identify lug nuts, style, type, XYZ. We remove the lug nuts. We have a larger robot that comes in, removes the tire. We then integrate existing third-party tire changers and balancers to do the demounting process, mounting process, balancing, and then back on the car and lug nuts all tightened up. So, you know, this task that used to be all manual at our current step, probably about 85% is automated. Again, there's still some that isn't, but that's just because we want to get product out to a customer's hand and get real world feedback before trying to automate it 100%.
And of course, you get data too, right? You can find out who's doing what kind of cars, how long it takes, this kind of thing.
Correct. That's kind of like the hidden gem, I guess, is, you know, you take a manual task that is very labor intensive to record data now to a robotic task that is equipped with vision, sensors, and all that. And just the amount of data that we collect regarding lug nuts, vehicles, weather conditions of the vehicle and how it affects parts. It's kind of endless of what we could go after. And that's why we want to build a platform and not just like a tire changing robot.
Well, I think a tire changing robot is a cool idea, but of course a platform is so much more attractive to investors and to people who are buying your equipment.
Correct. And we kind of changed the, you know, people have talked about it, but our default business model is a RaaS, so a robot as a service. So as we continue to develop and bring out more features, like next up is brakes after this, and then suspension, and then some more vehicle inspection, so digital vehicle inspection. So it's kind of like, oh, you want this service or that service, is just kind of adding different packages, more like software than it is hardware.
So if I'm a dealer or I'm a service station, I just come to you and say, hey, come, here's the bay, put some equipment in?
Yes, high level, yes. I mean, there's some consideration because we are bigger than a normal bay. We're about two bays worth from a size perspective, but we do like 3 to 4x the throughput. So kind of offsets a little bit. But yes, high level, a shop will come to us, say, hey, you know, I want a robo tire system. We do floor layouts, and then we kind of gear them up and ship. Our facility here, it's still being built, but in Plymouth, we currently have about 110,000 square feet of warehouse and office. The target is to be able to produce about 100 of these a year. And hope maybe we'll get there next year, but
nice.
That's the high level process.
And so what do I was going to say payback, but because it's a RaaS system, how does that work from a dealer's perspective?
It depends on the dealer, but it mainly just what we try to do, and our numbers will fluctuate based on tire volume, but we try to make it so that it's almost apples to apples, saying, hey, I paid Johnny to change tires, I'm going to pay RoboTire the same thing,
right?
That's kind of high level what we try to strive for.
And one of the neat things, I think, is everything gets digitized, so I know that these tires are put on with the proper torque.
Correct, right? There's that. There's the ability to have confidence that a wheel's never going to come off of a tire, right? Because it's a rare case, but you know, if a tire comes flying off of the highway at 80, that's a liability on the shop. So, you know, there's other factors besides just the workforce.
Sure.
Augmentation, it's workman comp policies, it's liability insurance that the shops have to take, which our systems could hope to reduce.
So are these conversations going with your prospective customers?
Well, really well. We've actually accelerated post-pandemic, but right now we have one system live in California. That was kind of our test bed, and they've been a really great first adopter for us. We have 13 systems on order. Another one's leaving here in about 2 weeks. They range from, I can't say the name yet because we haven't made the announcement yet, sure. But it ranges from independent shops to oil change franchise to big box retailers. So we cover the gambit. We also have two military contracts, both with the Air Force and with the Army for our system. So we go wide, and our customer base is very wide.
Well, you can imagine some of these huge tires that go on tractors or go on big mining vehicles and such. So it's a very exciting opportunity for you.
Correct. And right now, like the core feature set for our system right now is passenger vehicles, but early next year, we'll bring out a solution to big rigs as well.
That's very exciting. So I'm assuming you're talking to all your bullseye customers, right?
Yes, there's a lot of the big chains that we're talking with. I can't tell you who it is, but
sure.
We have one of we have one of the largest players in the States, right? That is our customer. And then, if anyone wants to see it, I'm going to do a little plug here. You're probably familiar with the SEMA conference, the SEMA Expo in Vegas. Yeah. RoboTire will have its full system there on display. So if anyone wants to come see it and you happen to be at the SEMA show, stop by there. And there could be a possibility that we may be at CES as well. So there is going to be some opportunities to see these systems in person.
Oh, no, that's very exciting. So you kind of mentioned at the beginning some of your next big challenges, and it's brakes and it's other products. Will one system be able to do them all, or you will come in a separate unit for that?
The hope is that we can, again, maybe do an end of arm tool change, or we haven't really designed it, but the goal is to be all in one unit. So it's a basically fully equipped bay. Brakes. Anyway, we got to try to watch where the market is going, right? Again, with electric vehicles, are you doing brakes? Or are you doing full motor swap outs, right? Mm-hmm.
Or batteries.
Right?
Yeah.
I think right now our bigger challenges are around the environmental. So, what do you deal with during winter? It's rust, right? What do you deal with vehicles that have been sitting for a while, mm-hmm. right? Post-pandemic, vehicles that haven't been driven a lot, how does that affect certain aspects of the vehicle?
No, that's very exciting. It's really, really interesting. And I look forward to catching up with you at some of these trade shows. And so, Victor, how do people get a hold of you?
There's many ways. You can find me on LinkedIn. Always happy to connect. The default, if you want to get a hold of RoboTire, it's just info@RoboTire. That gets forwarded to all of us. And those are the two easy ways to find us.
Well, that's great. Well, I'm very excited for you. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. And you'll be able to solve a lot of the challenges that we're facing today with the labor crisis.
Correct. And, the one interesting stat, there's about 36,000 technicians short right now to service the industry. And, the pandemic has actually made it a lot worse because, yes, vehicles, me and you are probably not driving as much, but our fleets are driving a lot more. So that Amazon delivery vehicle, the DoorDashes of the world, miles are going up.
Absolutely. Well, Victor, thank you so much for spending some time with us.
Okay, thank you.
Our sponsor for this episode is Ehrhardt Automation Systems. Ehrhardt builds and commissions turnkey solutions for their worldwide clients. With over 80 years of precision manufacturing, they understand the complex world of robotics, automated manufacturing, and project management, delivering world-class custom automation on time and on budget. Contact one of their sales engineers to see what Ehrhardt can build for you. I'd like to thank and acknowledge our partner A3, the Association for Advancing Automation. They're the leading automation trade association for robotics, vision and imaging, motion control and motors, and the artificial intelligence technologies. Visit automate.org to learn more. And thanks to our partner, Painted Robot. Painted Robot builds and integrates digital solutions. They're a web development firm that offers SEO, digital, social marketing, and can set up and connect CRM and other ERP tools to unify marketing, sales, and operations. And you can find them at paintedrobot.com. And if you'd like to get in touch with us at the Robot Industry Podcast, you can find me, Jim Beretta, on LinkedIn. We'll see you next time. Thanks for listening, and be safe out there. Today's podcast was produced by Customer Attraction Industrial Marketing, and I'd like to thank my nephew, Chris Gray, for the music, Chris Colvin for audio production, my partner Janet, and our partners A3, Painted Robot, and thanks to our sponsor, Ehrhardt Automation.